welcome to the Daddy Duty Podcast.
What up, what up, what up?
I'm one of your hosts. My name's Jason, a.k.a. The Dark Shark.
And I'll be your co-host, D, a.k.a. D.
D's not D. Okay. Yeah. What up, D? What up, D?
What's going on? What's going on, Dark Shark? What's popping? What's popping?
You know, it's all good up here in Canada, in Toronto.
Word.
We got some beautiful weather.
That's what's up.
20 degrees today. People were at the beach.
Damn.
That's 20 degrees Celsius. Keep in mind.
That's okay. Yeah.
I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Maybe like 78.
Yeah, that's not warm enough for me to go to the beach. But I mean, when you're cold most of the time.
Well, when it's almost almost Halloween, and it's fall, and usually the weather is a little bit more, you know, it's a little colder, so
a little bit more crisp.
People are out taking advantage of, you know, the last nice days that you got. So yeah, you go to the beach, get your suntan on.
Okay. I ain't mad at that. Yeah, it's actually a little chilly here today, so.
It's always chilly south of the border. It's major cold front running the White House. I mean. What's happening down there in Austin? Is there tornadoes or. Is it just chilly? Is it?
No, it's actually a beautiful day. It's just chilly.
Like, is it normal? Is it abnormally chilly, or is it just?
No, regular? It's not. It's not like abnormally chilly. You know, like it's just a little. It's like crisp outside. You know what I'm saying? It's fall weather.
You put on a little jacket.
Yeah. You could have thrown a little jacket earlier today, and then as the day went on, it kind of just, you know, it kind of fizzled out, got a little warmer. Yeah, so it was a cool day. Not bad at all.
Nice. So this is the Daddy Duty Podcast. And on this podcast, we'll be talking about, you know, life as a dad, the ups and the downs, the trials and tribulations of fatherhood, what it's like to be being married, having kids, you know, the differences between me and you. You know, I'm from Toronto in Canada, and you're down in Austin, Texas, and there's probably a lot of differences in maybe our healthcare or what we do for sports or, you know, how you take care of kids, vaccines, who knows? There's probably a lot of differences, and we're going to find them all out.
Yeah, hopefully.
Cool. So D, why don't you let the audience know, you're married and your wife is pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you want to let the audience know a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, my name's D. We're here in Austin, Texas. Me and my wife have been married for, it'll be 2 years on Tuesday of this week. So October the 24th, it'll be 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Turn up. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's actually been cool. You know what I mean? It's been pretty fun, actually. You know what I'm saying? My marriage is pretty fun, so it's been good. But, you know, we're expecting our first child. We're having a little boy in February. And we're excited, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready to be a father. I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting my new son and just everything that, you know, life has to offer us after that.
And how far along is your wife?
My wife right now, she is 5 months. She's 5 months.
Ooh, so you're halfway there.
Yeah, we're halfway there. We're almost there. You know what I'm saying? We're chugging on along. You know?
You guys all ready? You have all of the things you need, you think? You're prepared?
I feel like my job is to make sure that we're prepared financially. So, I mean, I'm handling that, and I'm kind of let my wife handle the rest. So in that aspect of things, I'm kind of holding it down. So
All right. So far, so good. Yeah. My name's Jason, or the Dark Shark, as some people like to call me. I'm what from people? Toronto. What's that?
What people?
Well, you know, it was a nickname given to me by some, you know, very famous in the local Toronto rap scene.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Just want you to expound on it.
And I'm from Toronto, Canada. I've been married for 3 years. It was just my 3-year anniversary a few weeks ago, which was incredible. So a big applause to my wife. And yes, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. 3 years, we made it. 3 years is a long time for marriages these days, you know.
Yeah, it is, man. That's what's up, man. Congrats.
But we just had a baby 4.5 months ago, and I have a little baby daughter. She's incredible, and she's healthy, and she's growing by the day. That's my story about who I am, and it's really exciting being a new dad. So I'm going to be excited to talk to other fathers about what their experiences have been like. Maybe they're similar, maybe they're completely different, because there's really, babies don't come with instruction manuals, and it's really different talking to some other people about what choices they make, or, you know, what they feed their baby. Are they breastfed? Are they not? There's so many things to go on, but we'll get into that another time. So, D.
Yes.
You guys are married. Did you guys plan on having a baby? Did you family plan? Is this like, is this part of the game plan, or?
Yeah, we've been trying to have a baby for like the past 2 years. Like, at first, when we first got together, my wife didn't really want, she really didn't want kids. But she knew that I wanted kids really bad. So you know what I'm saying? She was like, you know, she was willing to give me a child, you know what I'm saying? So it was just something, we had always planned, and it was always going to come after, you know what I'm saying? After we had got married, you know what I mean? So, like we had been married, and like I said, we had been trying. And then on Father's Day of this year, we found out, you know what I'm saying, that we were going to have a baby.
Boom. Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What about y'all? Did y'all
plan? No, you're 5 months in. Oh, did we plan it? We planned it. Yeah. All right. it took a long time. Did you know that, before I was married or anything like that, I never actually thought about family planning. Like, it never really crossed my mind that people would, you know, get married and then be like, yeah, let's try to have kids. Like, and then it's like a trying process. And That never really crossed my mind. I just, you know, maybe it's from like where I grew up or the people that I know, but I just felt like I would, somebody's just going to get pregnant and then you have a kid. I never really thought about like planning it. So after we got married and we're like, okay, well, after we did all the things that we want to do, we're like, let's try to have a baby. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then it was a lot more difficult than I ever imagined.
Yeah, it is. It turns into like a job almost.
It does turn into a job, because it's like, oh my God, I'm ovulating. So, get on top of me.
Right. Let's hump. You know, you know what I'm saying?
It's not, that's like so completely weird. I was like, you know, this, it's not as pleasurable when it's
right.
You know, when it's like, you know, you're doing this for a specific purpose instead of for fun. It was definitely really different, but it took a long time to for us to get pregnant, probably like a year and a half. we were trying. And then, yeah. And then after we were unsuccessful a bunch of times, we went through IVF. And then after a long process of like a year, we have a baby now.
So if you don't mind, or you know, if you'd like to, like, kind of explain more what IVF is, you know what I'm saying? To like, so people have a better understanding.
Well, in vitro fertilization, well, I could really go way deep into it, but essentially, and I'll probably tell a funny story about it, but so me and my wife is actually fairly young. She was 32 at the time. Mm-hmm. But we're having a really hard time getting pregnant. And the doctors were like, well, you know, I had to go for a sperm analysis to see if maybe it was something going on with me or if it was turned out. You know, it wasn't something with me, but, it was really difficult for us to have kids. The doctor couldn't really explain anything. So he made us try something called an IUI. And basically I want to make sure I get this right. But basically she would take these injections that would increase the amount of eggs that she would produce when she's ovulating. And then we should be able to have a baby easier. But after three rounds of that, it didn't work. And so after that, they recommended that we do in vitro. And so when you're doing IVF, I'll just get into it. They take your sperm and then they take her egg, they mix it together. And then it creates an embryo, and then that embryo has to grow for 5 days, and then they take it out and they implant it back into my wife, and then you're pregnant, and that's exactly how it happens.
Okay.
But there's a really funny well, maybe I shouldn't say it's funny because maybe it's not funny, but I'll tell you, the first time that I had to go do a sperm analysis, it's a very not natural thing, but basically, I go to this medical building and I give this lady my form, and she's like, she gives me this cup and she's like, there's a washroom on the third floor. And I was like, okay. Like, I thought I was going to be in like a special jerk off room, but no, she sent me to the washroom. So I go up to the third floor. I'm like looking around for washrooms. I see one washroom and I'm like, this really can't be it, because this is like the only washroom that's on this floor. And it's like not a men's washroom, not a women's washroom. It's just, you know, one washroom with a toilet in it. So I'm like, I guess this is where it's supposed to go down. And so it's very uncomfortable. You know, I close the door. Nobody tells you how to do these things, right? I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like I'm supposed to show up with a sample. And so I have to go back downstairs with the sample, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I go into the washroom, I close the door, and you know, I'm trying my best to, you know, to make this a quick process, and people are knocking on the door, and I'm like, shit, you know, like, 1 second, you know, like I'm going to all of my. I'm in there like thinking of like my, you know, my, I'm going to like my go-to thoughts, and
wait a minute, you got go-to thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I was like, you know, you gotta do something. You gotta, anyhow, so let me just, you know, it's nobody really wants to hear stories about me jerking off in a washroom.
Nah, but, nah.
But to make a long story short, I finally get to the to the climax. But I forgot to take
I'm going to hallway bathroom.
So I finally get to the end, right? And I forgot to take the lid off of the fucking jar. So, you know, 3/4 of the sample ends up on the floor. And I'm like, what do I do? You know, like, what do you do?
Oh, dude.
So then I gave the best sample that I could, and then I cleaned up the floor, but I'm like, I wonder how many other people were in here. You know, then I started to feel disgusted. Yeah.
You, sir, are oh, man. You, sir, have the wildest stories. Oh, this is crazy.
And, I took the cup back downstairs. I'm surprised they didn't come back to me.
This ain't enough.
You know, and be like, oh, you know, like, yeah, the problem is you. You have, like, very small sperm sample, you know? Like, but, no, they came after they did the analysis. They're like, oh, you're all good.
I bet you were like, huh?
But I went down there and I was kind of like, you know, I want to tell this lady, you know, like, you know, can I get a retry and like give me 20 minutes to, you know,
maybe reload.
give me a Gatorade in 20 minutes. You know, like, I'll be back.
Ah, he said the Gatorade.
But because I'm like, you know, I don't want to give this sample and. You know, and it's like not, it's like a incomplete project. So I was, but anyways, I handed it in. I was a little bit embarrassed, but I handed it in real quick and walked away real fast. And then they came back a couple of days later. They said it was all good. So
you were like, huh?
Yeah, but the in vitro process is very, very long. I mean, it was, it probably took us, like, oof. So it was so long. I can't even remember how long, but it was so many needles for, you know, like 5 weeks straight. I had to give my wife a needle.
Oh, wow.
And she was also taking other needles, like 2 other needles, like during the daytime. It was a lot. It was a lot on my wife. And, but it's incredible, the things that can happen nowadays, you know, because maybe we keep on trying and we get pregnant, naturally, maybe it would just be a matter of time. But, you know, when we're looking to start our family without a thing like in vitro, you know, maybe I wouldn't have my daughter that I have today. And that would make me really sad.
Man, give a round of applause for that. You don't want to hit the button?
Oh,
dog! I need access I need access to the sound effects, dude.
You need access to the board.
Yeah, dog. So I would have hit you with the sound effects, dude. I would have hit you with the handy clap. Like, yo, give a round of applause for that, man. That's real. All
right, let's get a round of applause. You're right.
I mean, it's too late now, dog. We won't.
Okay, there it is. And that's my story about IVF and that was the loneliest washroom. It's one of the loneliest moments of your life when you're in a medical building washroom and people are knocking on the door and you're trying to do something like that.
I can imagine, dog. I can imagine. You know what I'm saying? You in there trying to, you know, get your little rocks off. And they don't give you a TV, a magazine, you know.
Not a
they
thing.
They don't give you anything.
They didn't even have good Wi-Fi, you know, like I was struggling in there.
Man, that's crazy, dude. Seems like they would have gave you like something, like, you know, it would have been like, hey, you know, we have free access to this website. We have free access to xvideos.com. So, you know,
I think what I didn't realize is that, you know, I went to a place that was, it's kind of like a place where you would like go give blood. Like you can go to any one of these places to get your requisition filled, because they basically just give you a cup and then they take the sample and they send it off to a lab. So it's basically like any blood lab. What I didn't realize is that I could have gone to like an actual like fertility clinic where they have like an actual room with, you know, nice couches,
yeah,
and DVDs and magazines. They got everything.
Somewhere you could have laid up. You could have got comfortable.
Yeah, you relax. But if you want to know the truth, during the IVF process, you have to give like a lot of samples as well.
Why is that?
Not during the IVF, but during the IUIs, the first IUIs, you have to give a lot of samples. I don't really know why, but I had to. But you go into the room, but the only thing with that is that it's like nice and it's comfortable. You know, they got paper to put over the couch and, you know, the, you know, it's,
they got paper it's to a put nice over space. The couch.
It's a nice space, you know, it's like a nice, comfortable space. But the only thing is that there's only like two rooms and there's like 10 dudes, you know, so there's like people waiting on. There's like people waiting in line to go in after.
Oh, nah, bruh. I like.
So there's also a lot of pressure that way because you're like, shit. And then you walk out and you like put your cup down and then like, all right, Bill, you're up next.
And like, look, man, I'm gonna need at least 20 minutes in here, man.
Well, you can take as long as you want, but you just know that there's people out there, you know, counting the minutes. They got to go to work and shit.
I'm like, hey, bro, hey. Working with a monster. don't rush me, dog.
But the end result is I have my baby girl and it's incredible. I would do all of that stuff all over again 100 times if I had to.
That's what's up, man. Now's your time to get it right. Hit it with the hand clap.
Yeah. Standing ovation.
Yeah, you know I mean? That's real, dog.
You guys plan to have a family. And you found out on Father's Day that you guys were pregnant.
Yeah.
What was your reaction like?
Like, to be honest, I was kind of surprised at first because my wife was like just taking a test, like just for the sake of it being Father's Day. She was like, you know, let me just take a test just to be taking one. You know what I'm saying? And when she took it and found out, it was just crazy. I was like, yo, like for real? Because like I said, we've been trying for so long, and to finally, you know what I'm saying, hear that she was pregnant, it was just like a relief. You know what I'm saying? It was like, damn, like, you know what I mean? Like it finally happened. You know what I'm saying? And like, I was overjoyed, man. I was hella happy. You know what I mean? Like I said, because this is our first child. So like, you know, just to know that, you know what I mean? We were going to be able to be parents, and we've been wanting to be parents. Well, me specifically, but, you know, now my wife is like, she's totally on board with being a mom and everything. You know what I'm saying? It was just awesome, man. It was dope.
Have you noticed anything, you know, while your wife is pregnant? Does she have any like weird cravings? Has anything changed around the house?
She got more gas than I do now. You know what I'm saying? Like I used to be the king around here, but nah. She took that title a few months back.
Do you find that she's burping a lot?
Yeah,
she
burps. You know what I'm saying? And everything's the little baby's fault. Every time she burps or whatever, she's like, "Oh, it's the baby. It's the baby." I'd be like, "Damn. The baby need to come out with a bottle of Febreze." Doesn't
That's hilarious. I sometimes wonder if they're just like, you know, "Oh, I'll just let loose and just say everything's the baby's fault." Yeah. Like, that's just what happens when you're pregnant. Yeah. That's the baby.
Yeah, I'm starting to get jealous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I'm really like, geez, like, come on, man. I mean, this is supposed to be what I do. Not, you know what I'm saying? Not you. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to have the gas pass. You know what I mean?
Do you, you guys have a good support system? You guys have a good family, everything, you know, you guys are all set up like that?
Yeah, yeah. The cool thing is my wife's fam is here in Austin. You know what I'm saying? My family's in Virginia, but my wife's family's here in Austin where we stay at. So, like, you know, everybody's already excited about the baby being here, wanting to help out with the baby and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that aspect of things, I feel like we're kind of fortunate. You know what I'm saying? Because hell, I know a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? They kind of feel like they're out there on their own when they get ready to bring a kid into the world. You know, all her brothers and sisters are all here. Her mom and dad are here. You know what I'm saying? My parents and my family, they can come in town pretty much whenever they get ready. So it's been pretty cool in that aspect.
That's amazing. It's amazing, and it'll help out so much. It'll help out so much when once the baby arrives, and even before, to like help you guys get all situated and help you guys get ready for the incoming child, because it can be a lot of work. And we'll get into that, you know, in weeks to come, about, you know, like what your expectations are going to be like, you know, after the baby arrives. And it'll be cool because we'll get to like hear, you know, talk about how you feel, like what's going to happen. And then, you know, we'll talk to you like when your baby's 6 months old and see, you know, if that was really the case or if things were different. You know, it'll be interesting to hear. But you guys have a great family support, and that's really awesome. You guys have a really close-knit family, you know?
Yeah.
Super dope. Because a lot of people don't have that too, you know? So,
like I said,
a lot of people are just left out there on their own to like try to figure it out.
They are, man. I know, like, just growing up back from where I'm from, man, I know too many people that that's pretty much how they had to do it. They had to figure it out on their own, man. They had to figure it out on their own.
Did you guys have to do so one thing I found out after we were having a baby is that, they have all of these new things now, like, not baby showers. I heard of them before, but now there's like co-ed baby showers that like guys and girls go to. But, do you have to do like a baby moon and a push present? Do you ever hear of these things?
I've heard of both of them here recently. And we're actually going on our baby moon this week. You know, I'd never heard of a baby moon until my wife got pregnant. I thought it was just my wife being extra until I did a Google search and I found out she wasn't the only one being extra. There's a group of extra wives out here that for some reason feel like they need to go on a vacation before they have the baby. But I mean, it's whatever. It's another reason for me to take off from work. So, you know, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. The baby moon. I bet you, if you check those Google searches, those extra wives, you know, that I bet you any money, that's like a new thing that just started in like 2014. Right. Like all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, we need, you know, people like who starts exactly, all of these dude. Things is what is like what I'm trying to find out. Like who starts the baby moon, and then you got to give a push present for your wife having a baby, you know, and I guess it would be like a nice gesture and everything, but there's a lot of pressure on right. Men and dads now to, you know, like, oh, you're having a baby. It's already, for a lot of people, you know, it's already a financial strain enough for you. You know, it's going to be going forward, you know, because babies can be very, very expensive. And then they want you to take them on. You have yeah. to go on a vacation. And then the baby's coming, and then you have to give them a
Birkin bag. That's what I was going to say, dude. My wife's push present can't be something simple. Like, you know, flowers. Right?
Flowers.
You know what I'm saying? My wife's push present requires, like, months of forward thinking. Like, you gotta put some prior thought into it before you actually commit to buying it.
It's got to come with a... So it can't be flowers. It's got to come
right.
with a gift.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What's that expense? What's that wreath? Is it Nordstrom's? Is that what it's got to come from? Nordstrom's. Like Nordstrom's is like the home of the present.
What do we get, dude? What do we get? Why is there no gift for us?
After you see your wife deliver, I would say, you know, they deserve something, but I thought the baby would be enough.
Right. Is the baby not theirs too? Why is the baby just got to be enough for us, but not enough for them? Why we got to go out of our way and go spend more money? I'm like, yo, look, man, wait a minute, hold on. You know what I'm saying?
I told my wife.
I'm gonna start.
Oh, go ahead.
New.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna start something new. We're gonna start that. If they have a push gift, we need an alternative for the guys.
But they're gonna say you're not pushing a baby out of your vagina.
We're not, but we're watching you push a baby out of your vagina. That requires. That requires a lot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. I mean, a lot of guys, they're not even there for that. We should get something for being, for being like a good coach. You know how?
I just always felt like, you know, you shouldn't, there shouldn't be like a prize or a present for doing something, you know, that you're
naturally.
Supposed to do. You
or
know?
Something that you do naturally.
So this is what I told my wife, but don't tell anybody else.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, don't
this
put it on a podcast.
Secret.
I wouldn't do that.
Shh. Okay. I told her, I said, hey, you want a push present? Cool. You have to do it. You deliver the baby, no drugs, no Advil. No epidural. You do it the old school way, like they've been doing for all time. And then I'll get you a present. No PEDs. No performance enhancing
right.
drugs. You know.
You got to go into the fight clean.
It's like cheating. It's like giving Barry Bonds the home run record.
You know, I feel like the thing with the guy push gift. I look at it just like this. You know how at the end of like sporting seasons they give like the coach rewards, like they have bet. That's what they should have for guys. Mm-hmm. Like it's like being like a good coach. You know what I'm saying? And then like you know it's like getting the coach of the year award. Like hey, you know like yeah, hey look, I got you through this. You know what I'm saying?
She should definitely get you some flowers. This I'm gonna let you know this much, D. This is not gonna go over well for you if she listens to this. She's gonna be like, "You want what for doing what?"
I'm a good coach. I want to start a hashtag on Twitter.
I'll let you know this much: during the labor, my wife was pushing for 2 hours. I had to fan her. I had to like, just with like a piece of cardboard, and I had to like fan her because she was like overheating, right? And for 2 straight hours, I stood by her head and was fanning her. And my arms were on fire. I could feel the lactic acid building up in my arms, you know? And I was like, I'm not going to stop. I'm not stopping fanning her. Because, you know, she's also working very hard too. But nobody takes into considerations, you know, like my arms were.
Right. You deserve a golden fan.
But I sucked it up. You know, I sucked it up and I pushed and I persevered.
That's what it's all about, dude. No,
nobody gives me any credit.
See?
Nobody even asked me like how I was doing.
See? My wife may get mad if she hears this podcast. But later on down the road, she'll be like, you know what, babe? You were right. You were very vital to the whole process. Right.
And I've like, done this exactly, without you, babe.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're gonna be, you know, if you're gonna be Kobe, I'm gonna be LeBron. You know what I mean?
Well, D, that was a pretty good first podcast. We got you know, a pretty good, we let people know what's going on in our lives and we're dads, and I hope that we can interview some really, really cool people in the future, and we can definitely talk a lot about the lives of dads and what it's like, and you know what to expect. And I think this will be a really cool podcast, and I hope people like listening to it. We always end off every podcast with the dad joke of the day.
Okay. All right.
All right. Now, do you have a dad joke of the day?
I'm gonna let you go ahead and go. Because that's you know, dad jokes. I have to find like a really good one. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I can't do a whack one because I don't know how to deliver a whack joke. I don't have that gift. I don't know how to deliver a whack joke and it's still right. Funny.
Well, let me do my dad joke then. All right. Should we have a drum roll?
That was pitiful.
What do you call somebody with no body and no nose? Nobody knows.
Oh gosh, yo. See what I'm talking about?
All right.
That was a hell of a dad joke. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna give it a shot, man. I'm gonna give it a shot. Okay, here we go.
Good. All right. You want a drum roll, or are you just gonna,
you know what?
Do
get let me get the drum roll. Give me a drum roll.
All right. Here we go.
A ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer. What does the bartender say? Sorry, we don't serve food here.
<Boop-a-dum>.
You see how dumb that was? That sounded... Nah, it wasn't.
How like
that
good. Wasn't. That was so good. Bro, we're on it now. That was a good dad joke. You can save up for next week, you know? We'll get another one in next week. But anyways, everybody, take a look for the podcast out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at Daddy Duty Podcast. And yeah, we're going to grow a nice little dad community and have some good dad conversations. It should be pretty sweet. All right, D, I'll play us out. But good show today.
All right, Don Sharp.
We'll talk later. Soon. Peace.